time I tried to make it on my own. And every time I tried to stand and start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I had traveled on. There was Jesus. And when the life I built came crashing to the ground. And when the friends I had were nowhere to
thank you. soldiers. And keep fighting. Amen. God's good to us. We'll open our Bibles. We'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 48. Chapter 5, verse 43-48, Jesus speaking, he said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you," that's Jesus speaking, "but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." I want to just mention something. You know, Moses, after he had did all the things, delivering the law and giving them everything, and at the end of his ministry, just before he left, Moses told the people, he said, "Don't you add to or take away from this word. Don't you do that." But he said, "But there shall a prophet raise up. God will raise up from among your brethren like unto me. And him you'll hear. And it shall come to pass that everyone who will not hear him will be cut off from among the people." So even Moses is saying that when Jesus comes, he's going to say something much greater than the law. And you've got to listen to that. Because if you don't listen to Jesus, then you're going to be cut off. And so now when you read that, Jesus said, you've heard it's been said. He was quoting law, right? You've heard it's been said, you know, to love your... and hate your enemies and so forth. But Jesus says, "But I say," here's what I say, right? "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." God is good to all people. Amen. "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? People of all over the world love their own."
Yeah.
Love their own family, right? And Jesus is saying, if that's all you do, you're not doing it yet. Right. "And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. I mean, as the scripture says, that all scripture is given by inspiration, and it's good for doctrine and for reproof and correction. Amen? All scripture. It's our bread of life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Let's just pray. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, as always, Lord, we give it to you. We confess you, Lord, as the shepherd of the sheep. And Lord, we're just surrendering ourselves this morning, just each one, putting ourselves in our position so that you could use us, Lord, that you could live out your gospel through us. We know this is your purchased possession here today, and so, Lord, we're just asking that you would come and speak to them. Lord, that we give this service to you and everything about it. We just place it in your hands under the blood. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today I want to call this royal blood, or the blood of royalty. Amen. So it's really nice to see everyone back in church again, especially after battles and so forth. A lot of praying for one another every day, praying for each one every day, more so than we do anyway. And I know each one of you doing that. And so it's really nice to be here in church this morning with my church family. You can call it your church family too, but I'm going to call it my church family. Really nice to be with y'all, and there's nothing like it. You know, there's nothing like family. We have our own natural families, and family, I guess, comes from the word familiar. We're familiar with each other, but it's more than that. It's a blood tie. And so we have our natural families, which there are things that tie us together, our natural bloodline and so forth, but we have our church family. We have our spiritual family. And to me, as believers, we find out that our church family becomes more and greater to us than our own natural family. And that may sound, maybe someone outside that doesn't understand, that may sound kind of bad to say what you love your church family more than your own family, but it's not that we love you more than our own family. It's not that. It's just the quality of the spirit that is among us and among you is the difference is what we're talking about. And so, and you get familiar with each other and you get close to one another and there's a reciprocation and like the Holy Spirit moving from one to the next, just carrying back and forth blessings of one to the other and so forth. We know that's how it works, and so there's nothing like church family.
Right.
And so when we come together, it's a special time. You know, when we go out into public places, you have to keep your guard up. Mm-hmm. You know, you go out there, and you can't just lay your wallet down anywhere and walk off or whatever and go do something, because it's not going to be there when you come back. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know people out there. They might be killers, murderers, rapists. There might be somebody, they might be looking for a way to extort you or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to keep your guard up out there. But when you get among your family, you know, in my own household, I have family members, and I can lay down on the couch and take a nap. I don't have to worry about them attacking me because they're family.
Right.
And it's the same way in church family. You know, when you're off out there in the world, you got to keep your guard up,
yep.
Right? The spirits and things that are out there are just ready to jump on you and leap on you and overcome you.
Right.
But when you get around believers, you know, it's not, you don't have to have your guard up like that so much. You have to keep your guard up all the time because of the devil.
Right.
But see, when you're around family, you know, I could go to anybody's house here and I could lay down and take a nap and I wouldn't have to worry about you attacking me or putting some kind of spell on me or something like that, see? And so I was here the other day when we was having my mom's funeral and we had visitation there. And all kinds of family and people coming like that, and they all pack spirits.
Yeah.
And you know, and I don't know if I was just more sensitive to it at the time because of mom passing or whatever, but when believers came, it was just so refreshing. It's a different spirit,
yeah.
A different life. And so much, you know, as you understand what I'm saying, and it's just, and so I don't count that lightly, and you shouldn't either, you know, the what the Lord has done. And our lives, we want to remember that.
Yeah.
And so it's good to be with church family. And when, you know, when we're gone for the week and we get together on weekends, it's nice to get together and fellowship and express the love of God in our hearts to one another. And so, and it's even more special whenever we know that we've been away from each other and we know that you've gone through battles and you fought and you fought and you fought and all the things like everyone here has. Lately,
yeah.
Then when you come together, you see the soldiers still marching.
Yeah.
To onward Christian soldiers, still coming to church and still praising God, lifting their hands up.
Yeah.
You know, that's great.
Yeah.
And that makes it even that much more special. And so, especially after trials, and you know that they've had things, and you see them come through with victory. And we just so appreciate the Lord doing what he's done with each one. And so, but you know, that's the way it should be with family, with church family. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're a royal family.
Right?
Royal family. The scripture said, we read a while ago, said we are a royal priesthood,
mm-hmm.
a holy nation, a peculiar people.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're not peculiar to me.
Right.
But we're peculiar to the people out in the world.
That's right.
We're peculiar to the way we once was.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so we are a peculiar people, but the same God that says we're a peculiar people says we're a holy nation. And we are a royal priesthood. God needs people on this earth to stand in the gap and be a priesthood on behalf of the people that need brought to God.
That's right.
Right? And so the Holy Spirit works and labors through us to help our lives reach out to others to make a pathway that they can come to the Lord. That's why we live and we testify and we pray for people in hopes that family and friends will come on what they have seen and that they will find God also. Right. And so... But the scripture said we're a royal priesthood. And so, you know, royalty, I looked it up. Royalty is that which pertaineth to a king or a sovereign. Right? And you know what? Brother Bram always I'd never thought about it, but I heard him saying, you know, God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? He makes his own decisions.
Right.
And he doesn't have to ask anybody, and he doesn't have to get permission.
Right.
He makes his own rules, his own laws, his own economy, how he wants it, and he answers to no one, right? So when the scripture is saying that a royal people, royal priesthood, it's that which pertaineth to a king, which in our, what we're talking of in Christianity, there's only one king. So, the scripture is saying that you are that which pertaineth to the king. Amen?
Amen.
And if you say, well, he's a sovereign, he is sovereign. He makes his own choices, and no one can tell him he's done wrong, because he's right, right? And so, when the scripture says we are a royal priesthood, the Bible is saying that, right? That's not Brother Tony saying it. That's not Brother Daniel saying it. But the Bible uses the word royal when it speaks of you as believers.
Yeah. Right.
And so this morning, I want to remind you of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that? Can I remind you that God says you're royalty?
That's right.
Because you are that which pertaineth to him.
Amen.
Right? And so we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we might show forth praises to him. Amen? And so we are to be in this world, we are to be more than publicans, as we was reading there a while ago. You know, that there's a certain characteristic that's in all people, regardless of who they are. They love their own people, right? But if all we can do is bless them with which bless us, if all we can do is love those that love us, then we're not like God. Right? Because he said to be therefore perfect as your Father, because he sends his rain on the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so much of the time, because we do know and we believe truth, right? And we don't want to compromise from truth, right?
Yeah.
But we must always remember that God is fair. I say fair. He's not going to give someone a bad deal. And so, I say this because I have an uncle that's probably just, you know, who knows how long, a few days from passing, or I don't know, but he's not in good shape. He's got COVID and the lung collapsed and he's, you know, 80s and so forth. He's been kind of ornery all of his life, you know, and he's went to church and been from different beliefs or whatever, and he's been kind of ornery and so forth, but, you know, and so we was like, well, you know, he's not embraced truth. And, you know, in our own natural way, we'd say, well, you know, it's pretty much over with for him.
Yeah.
But see, God saved a thief on the cross.
Sure.
Right.
And God knows the heart of man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And God knows what it takes. And God can do great things when somebody's laying on their sick bed. He can do great things with them as he deals with them.
Right.
And so God is sovereign, and he can save that person on their deathbed. I don't recommend going that route, but he can do it. He does it.
Yeah.
See? So what we got to do is we got to let God be God.
Right.
Right? And so let him be God, because he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's sovereign. And saying all that and not compromising truth. Right? And so God knows exactly who each one of us are and where we fit in his economy and so forth. And so... Excuse me. We are to be more and better, greater than publicans. right? Because God is willing to pour out his blessings on the just and the unjust, put the rain on the just and the unjust. He pours rain on the weeds in my garden just like he does the tomato plants I'm trying to grow.
Yep.
Right? He does that. Mm-hmm. Right? Knowing full well that those weeds are going to grow and get stronger and be weeds. Mm-hmm. And give offspring weeds.
Yep.
Right? And he still blesses them. There's many people out here in the world that are millionaires and billionaires and never give God credit, never look to him one bit, and never have, never will. But he still blesses them.
Yeah.
Amen? I've said to the guys that work for me at work, you know, my boss, he's absolutely married to that position. And I tell him, I say, you know what? Somebody has to. In order for us to have jobs and for us to have work to do, somebody's got to be, their mind's got to be given to that stuff to make sure there's a job for you and I.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? Somebody has to set up there in the White House, even though we don't like what they do most of the time. Mm-hmm. But you see, and so everybody has their places. Somebody has to be in those spots, and God knows every one of them. And so we are to be more than just sinner, just publicans and so forth. We are to be like God and be able to be a blessing to those that aren't even a blessing to us.
Right.
And so because living the gospel is displaying your bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right.
In sermon question and answers with Brother Branham, he's actually speaking about the way men and women live, husbands and wives and so forth in their marital relations. He's speaking this, but he said, always remember you're God's children and you're from a royal family. You are royal blood. And there's no better blood in the world than yours. You got to remember that.
Amen.
There's no better blood in the world than yours. And that's right. And a royal blood shows itself. That's what it is. It's royal. Mm-hmm. How many believes that? Amen?
Amen.
I believe that. Yes, sir. It shows what you are. I am a son of a king. I'm a son of a king. My wife is a daughter of a king. And Brother Bram says, how would you treat a daughter's king? A king's daughter, excuse me. How would you treat a king's son?
Right.
See what I mean? Be real genuine.
Right.
So Brother Bram was telling us there that we are royal blood. Not just scriptures, right? But he's telling us we are royalty. And royal blood shows itself.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard Brother Bram talking about the horses that are, they have the ones that are... you know, like a mule or donkey, whatever it is, it's mixed breed, doesn't know who his parents, it doesn't know his pedigree, whatever. But a good thoroughbred horse is gentle. You can do something with him, right?
Right.
He talks about that over and over. And so there's something about a people that's a genuine bloodline. And if we're talking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're royal blood in us, then we're talking about a pure seed line.
Yeah.
It's not been mixed with anything else. And so it's pure, and God can do something with that. It's gentle. It can, you know, it's not like a mule
mm-hmm.
that will look at every chance he can to kick you,
right?
As Brother Brandon was saying. And so royal blood shows itself. And so to show itself to be something much greater than even what just general people are, just publicans are,
yeah.
Because God is. And the reason why we can be that, he's called us to be that, and he's not going to call you to be something he's not going to supply, but he calls you to be that, and we can be that because we have a source. We have a source of royal bloodline.
Yeah.
A life within us that makes us different. As Brother Bram says, you can for different diseases and different things, you can be inoculated. And when you're inoculated, it makes you where you resist the disease.
Yeah.
And so he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, like a doctor. A doctor, if he's going to give some sort of inoculation to someone, he should try it himself first.
Right.
He should try it himself first and make sure it works before he starts giving it to someone else. So probably ought to be telling that out there to the world nowadays, right? But you understand. And so God took that inoculation himself. When Jesus went to Calvary, and he took that life and showed that it worked, that it would hold, that even when it come down to Calvary and he had to walk up Calvary and give his life, that inoculation that he held within him carried him through, and no trial could stop him. He overcame, right?
Yeah.
And so Brother Man was talking about that, and we have a source. We have something down in us that makes us that way, and it's an inoculation. It's part of the blood of God,
right?
And it holds us in times of trials, times of testing. You see, I think sometimes, the different things that happen in a person's life, we know they happen for a reason. And if you're a minister, things that you have in your life, that there's, you can project that through ministry. And just like me, my dad, and finding him and the genetics and things there. So what I've spent the last 29 years doing where I work is testing products. And we test them to show that they have the goods, that they are what they're supposed to be. We test them to see if many times they break, and we go back and we figure out how to make them stronger. And so you can only know whether or not it's the genuine thing if you test it.
Yeah.
Right? God, there's only one way to see if you're a real Christian. It's for God to allow tests and trials to come upon you to test to see if that blood's there.
Yeah.
That royal bloodline. And so we test things just to prove it. Test a piece of metal to make sure it's going to do what it's supposed to do, be strong enough and so forth. And so it's like Brother Ram talked about with the boxcar inspector. He's saying, that he used to work and they'd, I guess, pack all these goods inside of a train car. And they'd pack it all in there, and they had an inspector that would come by. And that inspector would go inside there and check to see if they put everything in that car just right, because it was going to have to ride a bumpy ride. He knew exactly how things had to be positioned in that car and how everything had to be stacked so that during the bumps and all the things that would happen with the train, it wouldn't, all the stuff wouldn't fall and break,
right?
And so the inspector would come along and he would inspect it, and if it wasn't right, he'd tell him, no, you got to pull it out and redo it because it's not right. But once everything was right, once that inspector, who knew, he knew his job, right? He could look at it and tell you whether or not this is going to work or not. Once he looked at that and saw that everything was right and it would take the ride, it would make it to the destination, he would put his seal on the door. He would shut the door and he would seal it. Mm-hmm. And no one could break that seal until it got all the way to its destination place. That was his mark on it, saying that he knew that what was inside there was going to be safe to its destination place. And so Brother Brennan talked about that quite often there. And so he put a seal on it to make sure that it was going to be, make it to its place. Why? The reason why is because what's inside the car is valuable. Right?
Right.
So the one who's doing the sealing, he knows how to make sure that what's in there is going to be kept. So once he puts the seal on there, that's the final voice. There's no question here. That, like we talk about God being sovereign, there's the sovereign voice in that. When he says, all right, it's good to go, and he puts that seal on there, that's it. There's no questioning. There's no arguing. He's done. The inspector has done put his approval on it. And if he knows what he's doing, then when that product gets to its location, it'll be just fine. And, of course, since we're talking about God, we know God knows what he's doing. And he knows how to seal us.
Right.
He knows what's in us, what's in our experience. He knows if we've got to that place where we've died out to ourselves and his life has been replaced in there, then he can seal us.
Yeah.
Seal us with, we say, the baptism of the Holy Ghost or new birth. He seals us. And so that's him saying that everything's going to be fine. That person's reached a point in their experience that nothing, now that I've put that seal on there, nothing will harm it. They will get to their destination place. That's why the scripture says you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of your redemption.
Right.
Yeah. Not till you make a mistake, not till you quit coming to church, right?
Yeah.
You'll have all kinds of miseries if you turn your back on the Lord, but if you've hit that spot, he knows what's in there,
right,
and you're going to make it to your destination place.
Amen.
Amen. So at some point, we have to begin to believe what God has done in our lives.
Right.
At some point, we have to realize, you know what? I may not be what I want to be.
Uh-huh.
May not be what I should be.
Right.
Yeah, but we can say, praise God, we're not what we're used to be.
Amen.
Right? And God has done something in me that what he's done is going to make it. It's going to make it, and no matter how bumpy the trip is, how hard things get, God has done something in our lives that's going to get us there.
Amen.
No matter how many times COVID comes through or sickness or whatever it is, what God has done in our lives, we're going to make it.
Amen.
Because he's the one that sealed it. He's the one that inspected it.
That's right.
Right? And at some point, we've got to start believing that and quit doubting our own experience.
Right.
And say, you know what? Because we're looking at how bumpy the ride is.
Yeah, come on.
We're looking at the bumps and all the jerking and all that, and we think that it's going to break. But it's not going to break because the inspector has done put his mark on it.
That's right.
He's done sealed it. So we realize something in us there is going to make it.
Yeah.
And we have to begin to believe that. Because we do go through bumpy rides.
Yeah.
You know, living the gospel is not always being witty, knowing what to do. You know, being Johnny on the spot. Satan throws something at you and you just automatically know how to deal with it.
No.
Most of the time, you don't know what to do, Roger.
Right.
And as it is, so much of the time with God, in our lives, God will take care of something. And after he's finished, then we look back and realize what he's done. Most of the time, we don't catch what he's doing while he's doing it.
That's right.
That's like with the prophet here and all the things on it. That people didn't understand what was going on. It's after that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if people, there's that element of, hey, God's got to do this in such a way that Satan can't hinder. It's got to be third pull, right? No way for Satan to get in there and deceive. See, so what God does, Satan can't stop. What he does in your life is a finished work. And Satan come along and, he just try everything in the world to try to make you doubt. But what God has done is already finished.
Yeah.
So he seals you away. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. You're going to make it to that spot. Even though it's a bumpy ride. You know, I said this before, those of you that can, some of you do, and we probably should do more of it. But speaking for me or my household, but that process of canning, I won't get into it, but that whole purpose is that lid has got to suck down where it doesn't have that movement in there,
mm-hmm.
and it's sealed.
Yeah.
And that whole purpose for that is to seal out all the bad stuff that would try to get in there and ruin the product.
Right?
You seal the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. Can we believe that God does that in our lives?
Right.
That he seals good things in us and all the bad things he seals out.
Amen.
And if you can look and say, well, I see something in me that's not quite like God, that's not in the seal. That's something else.
Right.
That's not you.
Yeah.
Right? And God will take care of that. He's you know, it's you reach that point where you're you know you're saved and you know that you'll make it, and yet it's an ongoing process of perfecting your life.
Yeah.
You see that? And so, it's not always knowing what to do. Most of the time, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right? And so, much of the time, you're having to wait on God. You have to wait on the Lord. That's where so many people have such a problem, is they don't wait on the Lord. I try to express it all the time, and everything you do, include God in everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you do. You should not drive out of your driveway in the morning but what you stop and pray and ask God to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that every morning, I don't ask him just to be with me and protect me and keep me, but I ask him to do the same for my family, and I ask him to do the same for my church family every morning. I want to include God in everything. Maybe I don't do that, but that's my desire. That if I want to go buy a new vehicle, I want to pray over it.
Right.
If I got to make a decision, I want to pray over it. And I want to pray and I want to leave it alone long enough to give God time I want to wait on the Lord.
Right.
Wait on the Lord. Because if you get ahead of him, then you mess up, see? You want to wait on God because you know that when God gives you a nod and says, you can do that, then you know he'll back you on it.
Right.
You know, because he's not going to tell you to do something bad. He's not going to tell you to do something against his will. Unless you've done tromped over that and now you're in the permissive will like Balaam was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But God will, if you'll wait on him and include him in everything you do, then you'll get an answer from him in everything you do.
Right.
But you've got to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And so much of the time, that's what we do. And so, if she'll bring up Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, this is very familiar. We sing a song like this. We are to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord. See, but they that wait on the Lord shall what? Shall renew their strength. That's talking like an eagle, right?
Mm-hmm.
They shall renew their strength. I tell you what, after the stuff that we've had lately, I need my strength renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Physically. But it's that way all the time spiritually. Every day you need your strength renewed.
That's right.
That you can show forth praises to him. Amen. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That especially lays it right down to this age where we have the anointing of the eagle with two wings flying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If there was ever an age where a church could be renewed in their strength and mount up with wings of an eagle, that's this age under this prophetic message. And mount up with wings with an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. The older I get, anytime I run, I get weary pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the scripture said, if you'll wait on the Lord in your walk with him, you will not be weary.
Yeah.
Right? They shall walk and not faint. For those who wait on the Lord. I keep saying that because I want to make sure you walk away today that in your mind when you walk out the door, wait on the Lord.
Amen.
Now, that don't mean just keep silent and don't talk to him, but that means talk to him but give him chance to answer back.
Right.
And if you'll do that, guaranteed when he speaks, when he does what he does, it'll be just right here like this. You'll be strength renewed. Amen. We know the thing about eagles when they go into molting. An eagle, you know, it gets to a certain age and it's just like wore plumb out or whatever, goes into molting stage. And I won't get all the details, but when it's all over and done with, that eagle is renewed.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And believers are like that. Brother Graham talked about that. As Christians, we get old. And he said, I have seen old people that barely could get around. With the Holy Spirit come over in their lives, and they would shout and rejoice just as much as a 16-year-old would.
Yeah.
Right? Because God, no matter what you're going through with, God can give you a rejoicing and a praise and renew your strength. You may feel like I can't go another day. But brother, sister, if you'll just stop and wait on the Lord, you'll go another day.
Yeah.
If God can feed Elijah and let him go for 40 days on one meal or two meals that he ate twice, he can do that for you.
Yeah.
And remember, a prophet stored up spiritual food in due season, right? Stored up plenty of sermons that will get us through this age, through this journey. Man. And so, we have to wait on the Lord. But see, that's hard for us because we're creatures. We live here in time, and our body is subject to time, and our jobs and everything. And we get tired every day, and we have to rest, and we go through these cycles. And so we're tired in time, and we want to respond in time, but we're being asked to wait on someone from eternity. God is a God of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not subject to time.
Right.
Contrary, the flip side of that is, time is subject to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can pause time. He can back it up if he wants to. he can say it shall be no more. Time shall be no more, right? Time is subject to God, but he's not subject to time. It doesn't matter to him. It makes no bearing on God how long it takes, because it means nothing, right? He's for eternity. The scriptures try to give us an idea about what that is, that a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And so, you know, we go 1,000 years, and it's been just one day to God. It's actually, that's just trying to put it into words, right? And God, so that we might understand his time and the way he cycles things, he makes that statement so we know that a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, it'll be 6,000 years, and you know, as 1 week from creation and all that. But in reality, God is not subject to time. You could go 10 billion years and it not even be a day to him, right? You understand? Because he's a God of eternity. And yet we're in time and we're being asked, wait on the Lord. But my payment, house payment's coming due, or you know, this doctor, whatever. But he's in eternity.
Right.
And so wait on it. You have to understand that he has control of all of that.
That's right.
And so time that crunches down on us, if we just wait on him and look to him, he has a way of making that pull away from us where it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're like this. Brother Brandon, he's laying back and he says, you know, later in his ministry, and he says, man, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better get it done. Now, he'd already went around the world how many times, raised the dead, all these things, and all these great, wonderful, powerful things, and yet he's saying, man, I better get busy if I'm going to do something for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, we're like that. Oh, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. As I get older and weaker and tireder, I'm running out of time. I got to do something for the Lord. But God's not worried. He knows exactly.
Yeah.
Right? His plan's not messed up at all. And his plan, what he's doing in you, is not messed up at all.
Yeah.
See? You got to understand. Let God be God in your life.
Yeah.
Right? But what he wants you to understand is that there's more of that that's in you than you think is in you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So time is nothing to God, except time is a tool in his hand that he uses. He does use it, since we're subject to time. But he uses it as a tool to show us that we are from eternity too. Remember, something to test something, you got to test it to show that it's actually what it's supposed to be. So how would God, we've come from heaven, right? We know the scriptures. We are not of this world. Jesus said, like, he was in this world. But yet we're here. And so God wants us to understand this is not where you're from.
Right.
You're from eternity. So the only way to reveal that to you is to let things happen in your life till you'll come to the conclusion at some point that time means nothing to you either, because you're a subject of eternity. So that you understand that you come from there and you're going back to there.
Right.
And nothing can stop that.
Mm-hmm.
But time is the test that tested to reveal it and show that it came from eternity. Because everything subject to time crumbles with time.
Right.
But what God has done in your life does not crumble with time.
Right.
What God did in your life to save you 20 years ago is still just alive today. And if you live for another 80 years, it'll be just as alive then as it was when you first got it.
Right.
Because what God does is not subject to time.
Right?
Right? So he wants to show you with time, testing you with time, so that you begin to understand that no matter how much time goes by and no matter what's happened, his commitment to you as your father and you having his royal blood is still there. Amen. So way beyond time, after I've thought of it and maybe even preached about it in the past, where it talks about how that, you know, children are like arrows in a man's quiver, you know, and blessed is a man's quiver's full of them. And I talked about how you take those arrows and you'd shoot them towards your enemy.
Yeah.
You know, and there's crosswinds. And you got to compensate. You know, if I really want to hit the enemy, I got to compensate for all the stuff that's going to happen between here and there.
Yeah.
And that God would take us out of his quiver, and he would launch us all the way through time to land right here in Laodicea.
Yeah.
And he would make sure that he put the energy and the wisdom into that releasing of that arrow to make sure that it would go through and pass through all the ages and all the unbelief and all the things that we have in this day, and we would still hit the target perfect because he's God and he knew exactly how to do that. Right? And so we know that. He does know how to do that. So he launches us, and through all the ages and all the wars and all the unbelief and atrocities and all the horrors that time dishes out, and those that are subject to time dishes out, after all that's all over and done with, he still hits the target.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he shows us that no matter what happens in our life, no matter how long, he's still right there with us.
Yeah.
Because we have that royal bloodline.
Yeah.
We're part of his family.
Right.
To show us that we're from eternity too.
Right.
He's able to bring it all the way down into Laodicea, hit that target all the way down through everything, all the atrocities of time that pour out. Right down to Laodicea, right down here in the United States in one of the wickedest places in the world now. Right down into Van Buren, right here into this church, right into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And hit the mark.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's God.
Right.
And we have to let him be God.
Right.
Let him be God. Believe him that what he's done in your life will get you to the destination place.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So the best thing that we can do is just walk with the Lord.
Right.
Just walk with him every day. And I mentioned this in the past, but I'm going to stress it again. You know, we talk about walking with the Lord. Enoch walking with the Lord. But brother, sister, it's the walk. It's the daily walk that does it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you're going to do on rapture morning that's going to get you a body change.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what you do every day between now and then that
mm-hmm.
makes the difference. It is the walk. I'll say it this way so you understand. The daily walk is the rapture. We know the rapture is a process, and so don't miss the walk.
Right.
Don't miss the opportunity that you have every day. You say, Brother Tony, I'm going through trials. I understand that, but you're a royal.
Right.
You show yourself.
Amen.
And don't miss the daily opportunities to show the royal bloodline.
Amen.
As trials and things come, show that bloodline. Don't miss the opportunities. You know, so much of the time when we travel, and we're just so focused to get where we're going. But, brother, sister, there's a lot of nice things. There's neat landscape, lots of enjoying the trip.
Yeah.
Right? We get all kinds of snacks, and we're sharing it back and forth and talking and all that. We are enjoying the trip.
Yeah.
Right? And God wants us to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want us to miss the daily opportunities to walk with him and to express that royal bloodline to those around us. Enoch walked with God, and at some point he was not, for God took him, right? Brother Graham said he needed a ladder, which would take you up quickly, but that's not what God did. He just kind of walked up this slow ramp, still climbing. Maybe, you know, I've walked for a month now, and I'm not sure I've gained any ground or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? But you got to trust the walk.
Right.
God's with you and you're walking with him. And even when you don't feel like something happened, as long as you know you're walking with God, you know you're growing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
See? You don't quit worrying about the now and measuring stuff. Just walk with him.
That's it.
Because it's changing.
Amen.
Things are changing in your life every day if you're walking with him.
Amen.
Amen? And so realize that you have opportunities every day to show that royal bloodline.
Yeah.
But it can only show itself in times of trial. Right?
Yeah.
When everybody else acts a certain way under a certain condition, that's when you are to be above that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you have a source.
Yeah.
Everybody else's hearts can be failing from fear after looking at what's coming on the earth, But you have a source that says, my heart's not failing to fear. My heart's saying, look up and lift up my head. My redemption draweth near.
Right.
Right? Because you have something that's bringing strength to you. You don't have to fear. Amen?
Amen.
So the best thing to do is just walk with him and realize that he has promised, and he's never promised something he won't keep. He has promised that we will possess the gate of our enemies after trial. He didn't say you'll possess the gate of your enemy without trial. But you will possess the gate of your enemy after trial. And you remember I've said, if the enemy wants to lock you up in prison, he can't do that if you don't have a gate. Right? So God has promised to you that your enemy cannot keep you captive. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have to fight. And you'll possess the gate of your enemy after trial. He has promised that we will rule and reign with him if we suffer with him.
Mm-hmm.
So as you journey, pay attention to the opportunity to live royal bloodline that shows itself each day. And God, he will take care of the body change when that time comes.
Yeah.
He did it for Elijah, right? Do you think Elijah was sitting there going, oh, I just don't know how this is going to work. What do I got to do? No, he just walked over across Jordan and here come the Lord, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned several times, you know, that I'd been having for a long time lots of lower back pain. And, you know, the New Year's Eve service and sermon was about healing, and I wasn't really thinking about it. But, you know, when the musicians came up, and they began to play, and I believe you're my healer, I believe it. And I had a warm, wet feeling just come down over me, most wonderful I've had it before. I wasn't even thinking at the time that the Lord was touching my body. I just knew it was the presence of the Lord. Totally, just when they started playing that song, I mean, it just, and just took all that away, all that back pain.
Mm-hmm.
It was a few days later that I realized I'm not having back pain anymore.
Yeah.
And I haven't, you know. So, you know, I didn't have to do anything.
Right.
God chose to come, and you know, I've prayed and confessed and all that, but you see, when it comes right down to it, when it's time for God to heal you, he can do it.
Right.
He don't need you to fret about anything. He just wants you to walk with him, trust him, confess him, and he can take care of those things. He can take care of tomorrow. He can take care of today, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If he can't take care of it, I know I can't, but I know he can take care of everything. And, you know, it's like I said Wednesday night, you know, just being sick, you know, and I changed my confession there a few days ago and, you know, got some results, you know. As I just envisioned in my mind, and I said, you know, just coming to the Lord, walking up to him and saying, Lord, I have to give this sickness to you. I don't want you to suffer, but I got to give it to you, knowing that he would take it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way we have to understand these things. Let God be God. Let that blood of Calvary do what it was shed to do. Quit putting limitations on it, right? Quit putting time limitations on God and circumstance limitations on God. Just recognize he's from eternity, you're from eternity, he's royal blood, you're royal blood, and nothing in time is going to stop what God's doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe that, trust him, and walk with him like that. And so, as we go through things every day, we make choices. I think last week I talked about the power of choice. But you know, if someone walks up to you and slaps you in the face, you know, you make a choice. You can make a choice to jump back on them and try to, or you can walk away from it. You make choices. Now, those choices come from what you've been in fellowship with, what's down inside you. And so we realize Jesus, when he walked up Calvary, he had something inside him that they could pull out his beard and they could smite him and do all those things. And he never fought back, right? Because he had a character down inside that he could draw from and not retaliate. And so we make choices. And I'm just saying all this that, you know, the Bible says it is impossible, but that offenses will come. You're not going to escape offenses. Things are going to happen in your life that are offensive to you, right? He did say, woe be unto them that bring the offenses. That's right. But you have to understand, until our body changes, things are going to happen that we don't like. And it's not what happens to you that determines things. It's your response to those things and your response to the things that happen to you. I'm talking about expressing royal bloodline in the face of opposition on a daily basis. You make choices to do those things, drawing from that source and that strength that you have that can live that and not retaliate and can live in such a way that we don't respond to these things in the world like the rest of the world does. Because when we do that, then that's Christ being lifted up where people can see him. People watch you when you don't even think they are. They watch you and you are a testimony. And so, the things that we perceive as things happening to us, it is based upon the influence that we're under. And if we are sheep, then we need to be under the influence of our shepherd. Then that's what we draw from. Amen. Amen. So we encourage you to remember these things and enjoy your opportunities every day to show royal bloodline. Amen. Not just to your brothers and sisters, but to the rest of the world.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless you. We'll let the musicians come. Thank the Lord for giving me voice this morning. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come here to this portion of the service, ending now, we are just asking, Lord, that you would just send these words down into the hearts of your people. Lord, that they would ponder on them. I pray, God, that it has spoken to each one and that they each one have a nugget of truth, a nugget of faith-increasing word, Lord, that they can go with, that it would encourage them. Lord, that these things come our way because we are your children. We love you, Lord, and we just pray that you just speak to each one each day. May they find you to be that faithful and true witness that you have promised to be. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. same atonement that heals you. Same atonement saves you.